James chapter 5, I've just been told that our faith promise commitment is now over $300,000. Amen. No doubt about it. And we praise God for that, for what that means. What a great Sunday night crowd. God bless you. This is wonderful. I salute you in doing what God's will is. How many of y'all are in the service this morning, in this service? Would you raise your hand? Aren't you glad God has simplified life? Just one decision over and over again, and that is, what does God want? God's will. And you've done it tonight. You've obeyed Him. You're here, and no doubt it's God's will. James chapter 5, verse 19. We have come to the last message in the book of James. Boy, I have been having a time traveling through these books. I'll be honest with you. And what a book the book of James is. And what a message for us to consider in the end of the book. James chapter 5, verse 19. By the way, my wife had a birthday yesterday. Actually, Friday, wasn't it? It was Friday. Friday. Whoops. She turned 33. I'm 31. Amen. She says that makes her more mature. I said, you wait till you hit the big 4-0 before I do and see if you still say that, you know. Oh, my. Well, I appreciate my wife. My, my, what would I do without her? Amen. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. I'll be honest. Before I started studying this, I thought this was having to do about soul winning. But that's not true. If you'll notice in verse 19, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. That word err there means to roam, to wander. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, roaming Christians. Roaming Christians. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Father, help me to preach. Lord God, there's a fire in my heart tonight, and I thank you for putting it there. And I pray that you help it to come out. May you help us all to understand the message, and may you help me to preach it with clarity, conviction, compassion in my heart. And Father, would you build us in our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the end of this wonderful book, James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings out a serious situation in which brethren are to be compassionate and active. As a matter of fact, throughout this book, we see different marks of a mature believer. And no doubt this particular topic covered in these last two verses are for the mature believer to consider and do. Have you ever heard this by somebody? Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I'm saved, but I'm only backslidden? I'm saved, but I'm backsliding. You ever heard that? What a person like this is saying is they know what is right, but they've turned away from it and they're going their own way and doing their own thing. Now, it's sad when a child of God who has been saved from the wrath of Almighty God and been given the grace of Almighty God gets into this shape. However, there are many of God's children who become what I call roaming Christians, roaming and straying disobediently away from the Lord and the Lord's will. Now, this is the situation that we're given here in our text. A child of God who is wandering aimlessly away from the truth. Now, what I want to do is dig in tonight and consider what God wants us to see about roaming Christians. The Bible says in Psalm 85:8, it says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. He's saying, they're my children, they're my people, but here's what I want out of them. Don't let them turn back to sin. There's three things I want you to see with me tonight about roaming Christians. Number one, the first thing we notice is the explanation. In other words, in verses 19 and 20, we need to explain what's going on here. Because you've got to understand what he's saying before you get the message. Now, in these verses, we see James explaining the potential situation
that all of God's children need to be aware of. Now, there's three things under this I want you to notice. First of all, in the explanation, here it is, and I like this. We have truth. We see this in verse number 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Now, in a nutshell, our world is echoing the question that many years ago, Pilate asked the Lord when the Lord Jesus Christ was standing in his presence. We see this in John chapter 18. Do not turn to it for time's sake. Let me read it. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Speaking to Jesus. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And let me tell you something tonight, folks. Our world is echoing that same question. May I say to you that our schools are needing to know what the truth is. Our families are echoing the question, what is truth? Our government, our homes, our marriages, our children, our world is crying out for the truth tonight. But praise God, we already have the truth. Now, what is the truth? Let me give you several things under this. Number one, God Himself is truth. We see this in Deuteronomy 32:4. It says, He is the rock, talking about God. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto Him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:21, the truth is in Jesus. God Himself is the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit of God is the truth. We see this in 1 John 5:6. The Spirit is truth. May I say to you that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they are the truth. I'm glad they exist tonight. I'm glad our God lives. I'm glad our God is real. I'm glad it's not some figment of the imagination. I'm getting excited tonight. We have the truth. Amen. God the Father's the truth. God the Son's the truth. God the Spirit's the truth. The Word of God is the truth. Number four. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 142, and 151, Thy law is truth. All Thy commandments are truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm glad tonight that God the Father is truth. I'm glad tonight that God the Son is truth. I'm glad tonight that God the Spirit is truth. But I'm glad this old book I hold in my hand, it is the truth tonight. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God, I'm holding the truth in my hand. This is the truth. Number five, the gospel's the truth. Amen. Galatians 2:14, But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Aren't you glad the gospel is true tonight? Aren't you glad the gospel is the truth tonight? Hey, if it's not, you and I are not going to heaven. Praise God, the gospel is truth. We have truth. This is the first thing I'm telling you. The explanation, number one under this, we have the truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God's Word, the gospel. Lastly under this, and on and on we could go, the Lord's paths are truth. We see this in Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. You know what that word path there means? It means a well-trodden road. You know what that tells me? That tells me wherever God goes, it's the truth. Everywhere He goes, it's the truth. In other words, what you and I need to do is line ourselves with the will of God and follow our Lord God of heaven, and everywhere He takes us, it is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. What you have are so many of God's children who start roaming away from God's paths, which are truth, and start turning and roaming in the paths of the devil, who is a liar and the father of it. He tries to tell them, come my way, come my way, come my way, and he's lying to you. you. He's telling you a falsehood. He knows if he can get you to come this way, he'll destroy your life, destroy your marriage, destroy your family. But so many of God's children are roaming away from the truth, and they're going the devil's way, and they're tearing their life all to pieces. They're tearing their life all to pieces. The first thing under this that we're noticing about the explanation is that we have the truth. We have it. Secondly, under this, the explanation, we see in verses 19 and 20 that some err from the truth. We see this in verse 19 and following. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know what the word err means? Again, I've told you this. It means to roam from safety. It means to go astray. It means to wander or be out of the way. It carries the idea of a sheep that is in the protective custody and safety of the shepherd, and of its own volition, if you will, its own desire, its own will, even though it knows that it's safe in the care of the shepherd, it goes astray and wanders and starts roaming off by itself. That's the idea here. Let me tell you something. The truth is a child of God's place of safety. Don't ever forget it. To roam away from the truth is putting oneself in the place of danger and putting oneself in the place of destruction. I'm not talking about salvation here. If you're saved, you're saved forever. Amen. But I'm saying this, if you roam away from the truth, you are making yourself vulnerable for an attack of a roaring lion. And a sheep is no match for a roaring lion. Your place of safety is the truth. You know what that means? That means stay close to God. That means stay in His Word. And that means follow Him no matter where He leads. Where He leads, I will follow. Why? Because it's the truth. And it's the place of my safety. No doubt about it. Number one, we're looking at the explanation here. We have the truth. Number two, some err from the truth. By the way, when a Christian errs from the truth, it's sin. We see this in verse 20 where it says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way. In other words, he's saying, my children know better. If they're roaming from the truth, they know better than that. And it's sin. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 59, 12 through 14, listen to this. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. He's saying here, our transgression is that we departed from our God. He didn't depart from us. We departed from Him. And when you do that, the Bible says truth falls in the street. And equity is nowhere to be found. We're looking at the explanation tonight. Number one, under it, we have the truth. Number two, under it, some err from the truth. Number three, under it, any child of God is capable of erring. Any one of us. This is found in verse 19. Look at it. Brethren, if any of you. It doesn't say if any of them. It says if any of you do err from the truth. Now we should make up our mind tonight that we are not going to turn from the truth. You ought to make up your mind that you're going God's way. You ought to make your mind up tonight. Young people, you need to make your mind up tonight that you're never going to err from the truth. You ought to make your mind up. I don't care who you are. I need to make my mind up, and I have. I'm not turning from God. I don't care if the world turns. I'm not turning. But I cannot have my confidence in my flesh. I can't say, it's me, it's myself. I will not do this. I'm resolved. I will not move. Wait a minute. I'll not move as long as I stay close to God. Let me tell you something, Philippians 3:3, have no confidence in the flesh. And I'm telling every one of us that what James is speaking of under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that those who have the truth, they err from it, they turn from it and walk away from it, they don't want anything to do with it, it can happen to anybody in this room. Anybody. If you think it can't happen to you, then you know more than God. Because he said, if any of you do err from the truth. Matter of fact, we have some examples for our consideration. What about the nation of Israel? They had the truth. Yet in Exodus 32:8, they've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Jeremiah 3:11, and the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel, that was their name. The Bible says in Hosea 4:16, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. That's strong language. That's God speaking. God says Israel is sliding back as a backsliding heifer. God keep us from turning away from what we know is the truth. What about Saul? 1 Samuel 15:11. It repenteth me, God says, that I've set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. What an indictment. What about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter number 11? Again, don't turn to it, just let me turn to it. But in 1 Kings chapter number 11, the Bible says this about King Solomon. Verse number 3. The Bible says in 1 Kings 11:3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. By the way, the devil knows what to get into your life to turn your heart away from God. He knows. It happened to Solomon. It happened to Israel. It happened to Saul. It happened to Peter. The great apostle Peter. And you know the story. I'm not going to read it for time's sake tonight, but in Matthew chapter 26, verses 70 to 74, the Lord whatever the case may be. He's in his trial. Peter's out warming himself. Three separate times they say, you're one of them. Peter says, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what he did at that time? He erred from the truth. He knew the truth. He knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And yet when he had his feet put to the fire, so to speak, instead of staying firm in the truth and not erring from the truth, he wandered, he roamed from it. Three separate times. My point I'm trying to make to you is this. If it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to Peter, it can happen to Saul, and it can happen to the nation of Israel, it can happen to you and me. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. The bottom line is we must guard our hearts to make sure it doesn't happen to us. Hosea 11:7, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. The sad thing is God is still probably saying that today. My people, they are bent to backsliding from me. That's a sad statement. As the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Do you realize that every day of our life, we are tempted to roam? Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? You're tempted to roam every day of your life. And you have a decision to make at that time. Will you go with the truth or will you err from it and do your own thing? Do you see how this is lining right up with the message this morning? Stay with me. Number one, the explanation. Number two, the exhortation. We see this in verse number 19 of our text. We explain what the situation is. A brother, a Christian, a child of God who knows the truth, and yet instead of going in the truth, they err from the truth and they start roaming and they start wandering in their own way. Now we see the exhortation. When this happens, look at it. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, here's the exhortation, and one convert him. The exhortation is this. Now that we see that this roaming that every Christian is capable of doing has been identified. Here it is. Here's roaming. Here it is. God wants you to go this way. You say, no, I'm going that way. The Lord Jesus Christ is opening his arms to you and saying, come to me. And you say, no, I'm not coming to you. The Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, pricking your heart, convicting your heart, and you're saying, no, 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 no. That's roaming. That's roaming. You're not reading the Bible every day, you're roaming, because the Word of God is the truth. Every day of your life, you have a decision to make. Will I stay in the truth or will I roam from it? Roaming is getting away from God, getting away from His Word, getting away from His paths. That's roaming. It can happen to anybody. But the exhortation is this, is when somebody is roaming, God is pleading for somebody in His family to step in the way and convert them. Now that word convert there does not mean salvation. That word convert means to turn him, just turn him from the error of his way. Bring him back from his roaming and get him back onto the pathway of truth. It's as if God is saying this, watch out for yourself. And then turn your eyes outward and watch out for your brothers and sisters in Christ. The interesting thing is we're to turn him back into the truth. We're not to condemn him. You know what God's children are good about? Condemning. Condemnation. Aren't you glad God didn't condemn you when you came to him and believed on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure. But we are so guilty, we are so guilty that whenever we hear somebody has kicked the traces, hey, did you hear what such and such did? Hey, can you believe this? Goodness, how, hey, I don't want my kids around them. That's as wicked as the devil. Amen, I'll amen my own preaching. Because God's will is not to condemn them, God's will is to convert them. He wants you to step in the way and say, wait a minute, turn around. Because if you continue on this path, it's destruction. You know what we need? We need compassionate Christians who will heed the exhortation here and step in the way of God's children who are erring away from the truth and say, brother, let me help you. Sister, let me help you. Please, I'm not trying to hurt you, but please don't go this way. Don't continue on this pathway. Let me help you. Turn around. Let me convert. Get back to the truth. God, give us Christians like that in Buffalo Ridge. What I mean by that is this. It's an illustration of a roadblock. Here's what I mean by that. No doubt some of you all, maybe many of you all, I trust it's not you, but maybe many of you all know a child of God right now. You know they're saved. At least they claim to be. But you know the road they are on is the road of destruction. You know the road that they're on is going to condemn them and going to destroy and wreck and ruin their lives. You know that road they're on is going to take them down. And the devil says, well, just stay back here. It's none of your business anyway. You just stay back here and just let them go. Wait a minute. God's word says, if you see a brother or sister erring in the truth, I am exhorting you as my child. I am begging you as my child, get in his way and convert him. Change his course. By the way, you can't force him to turn around, but you can put roadblocks up. You can say, wait a minute, hey, you may be going this way, but I'm going to hold up a sign in your face and say, if you keep going this direction, God will take you down. Hey, I love you. I care about you. I don't want you wrecking your life. Do you realize that they have so many things that as they're on that road that causes them to fall into the lie of the devil and causes them to start believing that they're on a pathway of liberty? And they're starting to learn and listen to those things. There's so many things saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. God's saying, some of my children who know better, some of my children who have the truth, some of my children who know that I'm talking about he's also in my family, but he's on the wrong road. I'm exhorting you. I'm begging you, get in their way. Hold up signs. Try to stop them and say, stop going this way. Turn back to God. Turn back to God. By the way, do you realize that's what we're doing from the pulpit every day that we preach? You realize that's what a Sunday school class is? Brother Bob, you realize that's what you're doing in the youth group. You know what you're doing? You are putting up roadblocks and saying, if you go this way, this is what it's going to end up. But if you go God's way, you'll have peace, you'll have liberty, you'll have God's presence, God's power. What is it? It's heeding the exhortation to turn people who are away from God back into the pathway of God. That's what it is. He's exhorting his children.
to step up when some other child has stepped out. Are you getting it? That's the exhortation. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It's only by the grace of God, if you're not on that pathway and you haven't erred from the truth. That's only by the grace of God. But aren't you glad that every now and then when we all err from the truth and we all turn our back on the truth, somebody, whether it be a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, whatever the case may be, steps up and says, wait a minute, that's wrong. That's wrong. You need to turn back into the right. You know, that's somebody that really loves you. Let me tell you one way you can tell I love you, and I'm not out to prove to you that I love you, because I trust you already know that. If you don't, I trust you will. But I'm going to tell you how I'm going to prove I love you. I'm going to shoot it to you straight. That's the truth, folks. When somebody stands up and tells you that is wrong, that is right, and here's why, they love you. And I'm begging you. God's exhorting His children that many times when a Christian is turned from the truth, many times what they need is another Christian who loves them and will lovingly try to turn them back into the right way. You ever had somebody turn from the truth? What's the temptation? Get mad? Get upset? Look what they're doing. I can't believe this. My question is this. What have you done to try to convert them? What have you done to stick a roadblock up and say, wait a minute, this pathway's wrong? This is the exhortation. Then number three, there's an encouragement. The encouragement is found in verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Anybody like to come explain this verse for me? Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It really is. In verse 20, he begins to share an encouragement to those who help a Roman Christian turn back to the truth. It's a twofold encouragement. First of all, he said, they shall save a soul. That troubled me when I was studying this, because I thought that if you save a soul, the soul is what leaves the body, and it has to be talking about salvation. But in this text, the word soul means an individual. It means a person. It's not talking about your literal soul that's inside your body. It's talking about you as an individual. You understand? As a person, as a whole person. And what he's saying here, the encouragement he's giving is this, is that when you step on the road and you put up roadblocks and you convert a sinner, in other words, if they listen to you and they turn and they convert, number one, the encouragement is you've just saved a soul from death. You know what he's saying? He's saying you have saved that individual from destruction. Now, I don't know what all this means, and I don't think anybody else can get up and say this is exactly what that means, but I believe I've got a pretty good grasp of it. And here's what it means. Here's what I believe it means, is that when you step up and you convert them, in other words, you tell them you're wrong, this is not right, lovingly, and they listen to you, the first thing you have done is you have caused that person who is on a lifetime road of destruction and despair and defeat to now be on the road of victory. For instance, sometimes physical death has been associated with rebellion against God on the part of God's people. We see this in Moses. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. That's Moses. What about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? Numbers chapter 16. They speak out against Moses and they say, you take too much upon you, Moses. Now keep in mind, they were men of renown. They had exalted positions within the nation of Israel, but it wasn't good enough for them.
They wanted everything. They wanted to be in Moses' position. And God stepped in and said, listen, Moses, you separate from them and tell other people to get away from them because I'm going to take them down. And you know the story. God opened the earth and they dropped straight down. You know, we're warned of this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verses 27 and following. Listen to this, please. The Bible says this. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, talking about the Lord's table, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many are dead. 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto the death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. James 1:15-16, same book of the Bible. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And the next sentence says, do not err, my beloved brethren. I don't know what all this means, but I know a child of God is not to fool around with it. I know that. And may God help us to see that the encouragement is when a child of God who knows better has erred from the truth and they're going down the road of destruction, God exhorts another one of his children to step in the way and say, this is wrong. Turn around, please, for your own sake. And God says, if they'll listen to you, number one, you've saved a soul from death. What an encouragement. Is it not worth to take a chance on that person chewing you out and cussing you out? Hey, if they cuss you out, that's the direction they're going anyway. But if they listen to you, you have saved a soul from death. Number two, he gives the encouragement that you shall hide a multitude of sins. You know what that word means, that hide? It means to cover. In other words, what he's saying here is the sin that he's guilty of can be wiped away rather than punished. Praise God for that. He doesn't have to be judged. If he will repent and he will turn, God says, I'll forgive his sin and I will not punish it. What an encouragement. Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose sin is covered. 2 Chronicles 7:14, listen to this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a privilege it is to be a child of God who sees another child of God roaming around, roaming Christians. They see another child of God that's roaming around. What a privilege it is to step in the way and try to convert them. And if they do, praise God, they are no longer on the road of destruction. They are on the road of life and peace and liberty. And at the same time, God says, oh, I'll throw this in. I'll forgive their sins. Amen. What a God we serve. This could also mean a multitude of sins that he would have committed. In other words, some commentators believe that the multitude of sins is talking about in future tense, that if he doesn't turn and he doesn't change, that there's all these other kind of sins that he will commit. And I don't know if that's what it's saying, but there's truth in that. God wants his children to be in the converting business, not only in soul winning, but in the child of God as well, turning them from the error of their way. Now let me encourage you, who know and accept the truth, please don't turn from it. Don't turn from it. Heed the warning. And if you do turn from it, you know it's who it's just like? It's just like the devil. Because the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 44, I want you to listen to this. The Bible says this, talking about truth. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Wherefore, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When you err from the truth, you know what you're doing? You're acting just like the devil. However, on the opposite end of that, same chapter, a few verses before that, in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you know someone, in other words, my first admonition is don't you turn. Number two, if you haven't turned but you know somebody who has,
The exhortation is for you to do your part lovingly to turn them back into the pathway of truth. Realizing that you could have part in saving a life from death and hiding a multitude of sins. By the way, God's Word tells us in 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Our church is to be a place that presents the truth and sends out warning to accept it and then not turn from it, and to help others who have. Now I want to give this to you, and I'm coming to a close. That doesn't mean you are. Please don't start closing your Bible, zipping it up. You're listening well, and I appreciate it. How do you turn somebody from the error of the truth? How do you do it? Do you love them back to God? I believe that's part of it. But what have they turned from? They've turned from the truth. So what do they need? They need the truth. You know the roadblocks that you put up that I was talking about, the roadblocks. You know what the roadblocks you put up are? One of them's right here. You keep giving them the Bible. You keep pumping the truth in them. They don't want to hear it. Give it to them anyway. You say, I live with somebody like this. Then put Bible verses up all over the house. I'm telling you the truth. Talk about God every chance you get. Talk about the Lord Jesus every chance you get. Talk about the Holy Spirit every chance you get. Talk about the pathway of the Lord. Talk about His Word. Start memorizing Scripture. Start pumping the Word of God. Start having family devotions. And I'll tell you something, it'll change your life. Change your life. What am I preaching? I'm preaching this. You stay in the truth yourself, and if you know somebody who's out of the truth, you do your part to set up roadblocks and say, please don't keep doing this. Please turn back to God. And if they do, God says, I'll change their life. I'll forgive their sin. Do you see God in all this, folks? He's the one that they've turned from. And God says, if you, as my child, will listen to me and you'll step in their way and just try to turn them back to me, even though they've rebelled against me, if they'll turn back to me, I'm there with open arms. What a God we serve. Amen. Amen. Roaming Christians. May God help us with this. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this message. And I pray that you'll help me to give the invitation according to your will and plan. May you speak to hearts. God, would you help us here? Defeat Satan, his evil spirits. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. And as soon as they get prepared here, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me ask you some questions. Would you allow me to do that? I'm glad we have the truth tonight. I'm glad the gospel is the truth. I'm glad His Word is the truth. I'm glad He is the truth and His pathways are all truth. I wonder tonight, have you accepted the truth of the gospel? The Bible says that when they didn't receive the love of the truth, talking about the gospel, that they were condemned. Has there been a time in your life when you've confessed your sin to Jesus Christ, invited Him to come into your heart, and you have literally accepted the truth of God? Have you accepted His truth? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad that I've accepted the truth of God's Word. I've accepted the truth of the gospel. I am a child of God. I really am. I'm glad I am. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air? I'm a child of God. I've accepted the truth of the gospel. I know the Lord. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. Somebody here tonight say, Jody, I have not accepted the truth of the gospel. I realize the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the truth, and that's the only thing that will take me to heaven when I die, and I've never accepted that. Anybody like that, would you be honest? I'm not going to come to your seat or call you out, but you say, Jody, pray for me. I don't believe there's ever been a time when I've accepted the truth of the gospel. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand in the air? Anybody at all? Anybody? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Then let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a child of God. And if I would be honest myself with the Lord, I am a roaming Christian. Now understand what I mean by this. This could simply mean that you're not reading your Bible every day because the Word of God is the truth. If you're not reading it every day, you're roaming. If you're reading it 6 days a week, great, but you're roaming one day. In other words, a lot of times people are so afraid that if they respond, that what are other people going to think that I'm doing? It doesn't matter what other people think. It only matters what God knows. Maybe you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but if I'd be honest with God, I'm roaming. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand in the air? Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. I hope you see that I am here tonight to put a roadblock up on your road, and I am begging you to convert, not in salvation, but in your walk. Turn around. Get back to the truth and go God's way. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian and I know somebody. I know somebody who claims to be saved. I know somebody who is roaming. I know somebody like this. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand in the air? You know somebody who's roaming. You know somebody like that. That's a lot of hands. If you raise your hand to that, I'd like you to lower your hand, but I'd like you to look at me just a moment. Since I'm not speaking about you, I'm speaking about somebody you know, I don't mind having you look at me. Did you get the message? You understand the message? The message is don't condemn, convert. You getting it? Don't criticize, convert. Realizing it's only by the grace of God, somebody's not looking at me for you. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to invite every one of you who are looking at me to come and ask God to help you this week to put up a roadblock. Amen. May not be easy. It's the right thing to do. God is exhorting us. He's exhorting us. Please get in their way. Please stop them before it's too late. God help you. God help me. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us. Bless it in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if you'd leave your place and come, would you do that, please? Some of you need to come for somebody else. Some of you need to come for yourself. Some of you need to come for yourself. If you raise your hand saying, I'm erring from the truth, I'm doing this, why don't you come tonight and say, God, help me turn back. God, help me turn back. God, help me turn back. If you know somebody who's erring, why don't you come and call their name out to the throne of grace and ask God to help you do your part to convert them, change their pathway. May the Lord help you with this. May God help you with this. May God help you with this.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home.
was still praying, if you're still standing, I'd like you to look here, please. I'm standing in amazement of our God, how loving He is, how compassionate He is. Because every one of us err from the truth many times in our life. And yet when we turn back, He's always there. Aren't you glad He doesn't turn His back on you when you turn your back on Him? Amen. Brother Gary, let's sing that first verse. Let's sing it together, please.
Softly and tenderly, yeah. Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Bob, if you'll lead us in prayer, please.